Luke chapter 10, and we'll be reading verses 38 through the end of the chapter this morning. Let's hear God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, we gather again this Lord's Day under your word, as we do week in and week out. And we come as a needy people. We come needing the words of life. We come needing to hear from the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And Father, as we sit under your word now, would you confront us in our distracted serving, in our anxious and troubled serving, in our neglect of the one necessary thing. And Father, would you lead us to the good portion? Would you lead us to that which is necessary? Would you lead us to sit at the feet of your Son and listen to him? We pray that you would do that this morning by your Spirit. We ask that you would do it for your glory and for our eternal joy. We pray this in Jesus. Amen. Well, as we turn to this passage, one perhaps that is fairly familiar to us, I just want to note at the beginning that the footprints of another sermon of another pastor will be large across my pages this morning. About 5 years ago, I heard a sermon on this passage that has stuck with me from one of my favorite pastors, a former pastor of mine. And sometimes when you come to a passage and you've heard a sermon, it's just inescapably there forever and for always. And when you come to preach that passage, there is but one course. The channel is dug deeply, and so you follow that channel. And so that's what I intend to do this morning. So here we come to another moment in the life of our Lord, another moment in the life of Jesus. As Jesus once again goes into another place, as he does, he's traveling from place to place throughout the gospel narrative. And here he comes to the house of a woman named Martha, we find here in verse 38. And the scene that we encounter here is intended to instruct us, as is the whole of the gospel. And the lesson in this passage is actually an obvious lesson on the face of it. The heart of this passage is for us to see that in Martha there's a negative example. There's something in the action and attitude of Martha that is supposed to come to us and convict us and correct us. And there's something in the action and attitude of Mary that is commanded. It's supposed to come to us and call us in to imitate that action. And so on the face of it, it's pretty simple. And yet, there are a number of pitfalls along the way, and I think because of its straightforwardness, it can fail to land in our hearts and lives in the way that it needs to. It can fail to land in our experience in the way that it needs to. It can fail to convict us as it ought to. Now, there's a couple things we need to note right away. As we've noted the simplicity of this encounter, we need to note a couple of things that we are not to take from this passage, what this passage is not about. Though it is simple, it's not easy, and there are still errors we can fall into. And one thing that we just simply have to state is that this passage is not meant to tell us that taking time to listen to Jesus is good, and serving Jesus is not good. That can be, if we're not careful, and we're going to walk through this passage, I hope, carefully. If we're not careful, an individual could come away, you and I can come away from this passage with a vague notion of guilt that whenever we're serving, we really ought to be reading the Bible. Or whenever we're engaged in some other Christian activity, whether it's loving someone we meet on the street, whether it's proclaiming the Word of God, it's sharing the gospel, it's raising up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, it's keeping the home for the ladies, whatever area of our Christian life, we can have this vague notion that this is serving, and somehow, because it's serving, I really should be reading the Bible. That's the one necessary thing. And then in our mind, it becomes the only thing we ought to do. And so we have to guard against that. This passage is not telling us that taking time to listen to Jesus is the only good thing we ever ought to do, and that serving Jesus somehow ought to have this cloud of vague guilt over us. So hopefully that's going to be clarified as we walk through the passage. The other thing that we need to note that you find in actually a lot of teaching on this passage that I think forces us to miss the point, it's one of those things that softens the blow, it makes it not land on some of us in the right way, is that this is not a lesson in personality types. In fact, as my pastor pointed out, it's actually pretty foolish of us to come to this passage, one paragraph in the scripture, with like two lines about each sister, and come away thinking that we know what kind of ladies these are, that we know what their personalities are, that we know what their temptations and proclivities are. We don't know that. And we ought not to come to this passage thinking we do and thinking that somehow this is an instruction in personality types, as though it's saying, if you are task-oriented or mission-focused or extroverted, you're a Martha, and you're going to need to be rebuked, and it's going to be hard for you to follow Jesus because there's one thing necessary, and it's the thing that you are less inclined to do. Or on the other hand, if you happen to be more contemplative, more quiet, more introverted, then you've got it made in the Christian life because you are always going to want to do the one necessary thing. You are always going to want to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. And that's not what this passage is about at all. And coming at it like that allows us to simply categorize ourselves one way or the other, and then it's like either this is for us or it's not. It's for someone else instead of us. Or, worst of all, well, I'm in big trouble because I tend to be this way. And now I'm going to have to run uphill in the Christian life. We want to state at the outset that the passage is going to point us to Jesus. And the one thing necessary, which is to sit at his feet and listen to him in submission as a disciple to receive the words of life from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that for every Christian, that is going to be a battle. For every Christian, we will face things that pull us away from that. So let's walk into the passage this morning, looking first at the action and attitude commended, and then second, we'll be looking at the action and attitude corrected. We notice that Jesus comes to this house and there's two sisters. And as we meet them, before we even dig into the correction and the commendation, we have to note that these are two sisters who are godly women. These are two sisters who love and welcome the Lord Jesus. Look at how the passage begins. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. We have two women who are ready to receive Jesus. We've been walking through the gospel and we see that it's very clear in the gospels that there are two reactions to Jesus in his ministry. There are those who receive and welcome him in his ministry and those who reject him and despise him and work against him in his ministry. And here we have two women who have received him, who have welcomed him, who love him. So this isn't a story. This isn't a situation where we have an ungodly individual contrasted with a godly individual. It's not a story where we have an unbeliever contrasted with a believer. Here we have two godly women, but we have two different actions and attitudes in the story. So the action and attitude that's commended, we get to right away in verse 39. She had a sister, that's Martha, called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So you have the picture. Jesus has come into the home. He's been welcomed in, him and his, whoever, whichever disciples happen to be with him at this point in time. And Jesus sits down somewhere in the home, perhaps in the courtyard, and Jesus begins to teach, as Jesus does from place to place. Everywhere he goes, he's teaching. He's been anointed to proclaim good news, he says in the beginning of the gospel. And so he does just that. He begins to teach. And here we have Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. This is a posture of submission, a posture of learning, a posture of receiving. It's a posture of discipleship. We think of Paul as he talked about his own upbringing and how he was instructed, how he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And here we have Mary in that same posture, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, humbly receiving the words of the Savior, humbly not only hearing them, but receiving them and trusting them, ready to be taught, ready to be instructed. This is the attitude that's going to be commended by the Lord a few moments later. So that's the attitude commended, is this posture of sitting. And so we're going to use that to summarize this for the rest of the sermon. We're going to contrast sitting with serving. And of course, it's going to be a particular kind of serving. But here, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hanging upon his every word in a posture of humble reception, ready to learn, ready to be instructed, ready to submit to whatever the Lord says. But very quickly, we come to the action that's going to be corrected. You notice Luke has set us up for the contrast, right? Right away, he introduces Martha, who welcomed Jesus into her house, and then he introduces Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But, verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha, we read, was distracted with much serving. Before we even have the encounter between Jesus and Martha, Luke has tipped us off. He's clued us into that there's a problem here. There's some kind of disorder in the serving of Martha. She's distracted with this serving that she is engaged in. And it's very important for us to pay careful attention to words like that. Because the principle that she's acting on is a principle that's commended throughout the Scriptures. She's practicing hospitality, is she not? She's welcomed the Lord Jesus into her home. And hospitality is commended throughout the Scriptures. It's supposed to be a mark of us as Christians. Those who've been raised to new life by the power of the Spirit of God, those who've trusted in the good news of Jesus Christ, those who've been made new by the gospel, those who are walking according to the words of Jesus are those who are supposed to be hospitable. And so we hear in that word, distracted, that there is a disorder in the serving of Martha. And as we come to Jesus' interaction with Martha, we find out a little bit more about it. It's an anxious and troubled serving we're going to hear from Jesus. And the thing that we need to hear right off the bat in terms of service, because of the way that Jesus interacts with Martha here, is that serving that neglects the one necessary thing, serving that neglects sitting, is going to be disordered serving. Serving that looks like Martha's serving, that's distracted serving, anxious serving, troubled serving, is not serving that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. So there needs to be a correction brought into Martha's serving. It's not just serving versus sitting, but it's a disordered serving versus sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if we're not immediately aware of the danger present in this kind of serving, Jesus will help us to understand that. Luke will help us to understand that by giving us this little story, this little picture into these moments in the house of Mary and Martha. If we're not right away aware of why would it be dangerous to be distracted in much serving? Why would it be a problem if we're anxious and troubled, if we're doing good things, right? We're caring for the children that the Lord has maybe given us in our homes. Why would it be dangerous to be distracted and anxious and troubled in that serving? Is it not good to do that? We're serving the body in caring for those with a particular need, and we're distracted, maybe we're feeling anxious in it and we're troubled in it, but we're doing the good thing. Why is that a danger for the believer? Why is it a big thing? Isn't it the case that service is difficult? Isn't it the case that serving the Lord is going to be hard? He never said it would be easy. Why is it dangerous if our serving is distracted, anxious, and troubled? We see two very clear indications in this passage of why it is indeed such a dangerous thing. Why it's a signal of something gone wrong. And I want to draw your attention to those two things in the passage. Notice that Martha goes to Jesus with her issue. She's distracted in much serving, and so she goes to the Lord with this issue, and listen to what she says. Lord, do you not care? Distracted, anxious, troubled serving leads us to question the character of our Lord. You notice that in the passage? We just run right by that very quickly, don't we? First words out of her mouth, Lord, do you not care? This is a serious thing indeed. When our service to the Lord within the body, whatever that may be, whatever area of the Christian life we find ourselves serving in, and we see these things, distraction, anxiety, troubledness in our spirit, the danger in that is that we can begin then to question the character of the Lord because we see others in the church not serving in the way that we're serving. Don't you care that that brother or that sister is not as passionate about this particular area of service as I am? Do you not care, Lord, that I've had 39 families over to my house in the past year and that I don't know if they've even had anyone over to their house? Do you see the danger there? I think you can identify that even in your own heart. The particulars will be specific to you, but that thought that rises, do you even care, Lord, that that person or that person or that person is not serving like I'm serving? Anything that would cause us to question the character of our Lord Jesus is dangerous indeed. Do you feel that in your own life in some area of service? Some distraction, anxiety, troubledness in that, that leads you somewhere along the way to begin to have that question, that doubt in your mind concerning the character of your Lord. Like, if Jesus, if you really cared, wouldn't all Christians everywhere be equally zealous about this same thing? Oh, it can happen very easily. And in the kindness and grace of our Lord, He's given us this record of this moment between Jesus and Martha, to call that up in our own hearts, to call that out in our own lives, and to call our attention to it. Why is it dangerous? Because it leads to questioning the character of our Lord Jesus Himself. But notice what else it does. It does that vertically between us and the Lord, and of course, the Lord being the perfect representation, God Himself as God come in the flesh, and Jesus' character, we see the character of God. And so we don't know what clarity concerning the fullness of the incarnation that Martha had, but we, sitting here today, have fullness in that clarity. And if we question the character of our Lord Jesus, we are indeed questioning the character of our God. But notice how it operates horizontally as well. You want to know what the danger of disordered serving, distracted, anxious, troubled serving sets us out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the church. You can hear the attitude very clearly in Martha, can you not? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? The context of family life and service, many of us have walked through a kind of a lockstep example of this some way in the home. Someone was busy huffing and puffing around doing something that was perfectly good and right in and of itself, and yet carrying themselves in a way that made everyone else aware that they thought that you ought to be doing the same thing. Look at me, I'm the only one who ever picks up stuff around here. Look at me while you sit on the couch and I'm taking care of the dishes. Look at me while I do this work and you're off playing or doing this or that or the other thing. That kind of a moment in the family all of us have experienced in some way, and you see how disordered serving puts us out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the church. If we're beginning to come to the Lord, like, do you not even care that person and that person isn't even practicing hospitality like I am? They're not even doing this or that or the other thing. They're not engaged in their neighborhood the way that I'm engaged in my neighborhood. They're not pouring themselves into this specific area of service like I am. They're not signing up for childcare. They're not setting things up. They're not making and bringing meals. Any area, we see how quickly that disordered serving puts us out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the church. And we begin to act towards them like Martha acts towards her sister right here. Do you not care that my sister has left me alone? That's the kind of sister she is right in this moment. She's a leave me alone kind of a sister. She's just dropping the ball on helping. Do you see why disordered serving is such a serious thing? Such a serious thing because it leads us to question, to doubt the character of our Savior, and it puts us out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters whom we are called to love and to serve alongside. So what is the heart of this? We see the contrast, right? There's a commended action and attitude and a corrected action and attitude. Martha's neglected the one necessary thing. And if we neglect the one necessary thing, there's no way for our serving to not be disordered in these ways. If we neglect the one thing necessary, there's no way for our serving not to be distracted, not to be troubled, not to be anxious, and ultimately, not to at some point down the road to lead us to question the character of our Lord and put us right out of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the church. There's a couple of ways that serving can do that. If serving replaces the one necessary thing, it's automatically going to be disordered serving. If serving replaces the one necessary thing, it's automatically going to be disordered serving, no matter how good that area of service is in and of itself. We need to hear that word this morning. This passage calls us to see the example of Mary and follow her in that to the Lord Jesus, to hear him, to sit at his feet and receive his words, to sit at his feet in submission to everything he says, to sit at his feet to hear the words of life from the Savior of the world. And if our serving leads us to neglect the one necessary thing, it's going to be disordered serving. It doesn't matter what area it is. It doesn't matter if it's serving in within the context of our homes, whether that's serving our parents in some capacity, whether it's serving a spouse, whether it's serving a child. It doesn't matter whether it's the area of work that the Lord has called us to and seeking to execute that for the glory of God. It doesn't matter if it's serving the least of these. It doesn't matter if it's serving in our communities. It doesn't matter if it's serving in evangelism. It doesn't matter if it's serving proclaiming the word of the Lord on the Lord's Day morning, if it causes us to neglect the one necessary thing, it will be disordered serving. So that's one way we can clearly look at our lives. Is our serving crowding out the one necessary thing? Are we in such a troubled, distracted frenzy to do this and that and the next thing that we're neglecting to sit at the feet of Jesus? To submit to His Word, to read it, to meditate on it, to listen to it on audio, to hear it proclaimed on the Lord's Day morning. Is our serving leading us to crowd out the one necessary thing? But that's not the only way that serving can be disordered and this relationship can happen. It can also be a problem if we get the order wrong. In other words, if the one necessary thing is crowded out until the last moment, the last scrap of time, the last scrap of energy, the last sort of corner or area of our life. There's no way that we will not be left with disordered serving if that happens. And so we have to examine our lives, because the one necessary thing is necessary because it has ultimate priority over all other things. But not only that, it's by sitting that we can appropriately serve. It's by sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing again the words of life, hearing again the gospel, the good news that we can be saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, according to the word of God alone, and for His glory alone. Hearing that gospel again this morning, today, is the only way. It's the good portion that's necessary for my serving to ever be ordered in the rest of my life. And so if we think that we can squeeze that good portion somewhere to the end of everything when there happens to be time left, it's not going to do what it needs to do, because it does not have the priority in our hearts and in our lives. And so we need to consider our walk. Consider the good portion of hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing the very word of God centered on the gospel, centered on the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession of Christ at the right hand of the Father, that we would look at our lives and see, does the good portion, which will not be taken away, does the good portion have pride of place in our lives? Well, you can find out a number of ways. You can look at your schedule, but you can look at your heart. Are you distracted? Are you anxious? Are you troubled? Perhaps you're even at the place of Martha, where you're questioning the character of the Lord in some way, and you're looking askance at your fellow brothers and sisters because of the way that they're not serving in the way that you are. If so, the words to us this morning are, choose as Mary chose. Choose as Mary chose. This is another reason why this can't simply be about personality types and Mary just happened to be inclined that way. It says specifically, Mary has chosen the good portion. We don't know if everything in her naturally was crying out for her to go and help, go and serve, go and prepare the thing. Perhaps everything in her personality-wise was saying something else, but she said, no, I must sit at the feet of my Lord. He is here now in this home. I must hear his words. I must hear the word of life again. I must be taught. I must be instructed. I must feed on the bread of life that is in Jesus himself. And so we need to turn in repentance wherever we're convicted by the example of Martha in this passage. And when we do that, we need to note something extremely important. In that moment, we come to the Lord Jesus to be instructed, to sit at his feet. In the moment of our repentance, coming to him and saying, Lord, I am distracted with much serving. Lord, I am anxious and troubled in my soul. Lord, I have come and I have questioned and I have been looking at my brothers and sisters thinking that why can't they just serve the way I serve? In that moment, you will hear your Savior address you with intimate and loving words. You notice how he addresses Martha in his correction, Martha. Martha. This is an expression of intimacy and love. He has words that will sting her, but they're spoken in love that he might call her to himself, that he might call her to the source of life, that he might call her to come out of her distraction and out of her troubles and out of her anxieties, to cast her cares upon her Lord and to sit and to receive. So let us turn in repentance. Let us hear the loving words of our Savior to us in that repentance. And then let us choose the good portion, as Mary chose, knowing that the Lord will meet us there, knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we come to that reminder in the word now, in the meal of the Lord's Supper. We have here two godly women who have trusted in Christ and are being corrected on the path of discipleship. And they need to sit at the feet of their Lord Jesus to be instructed by him, to hear again the words of life. And even as we hear the words of life, God calls us as his people, everyone who's turned from their sin and cast themselves wholly on Christ alone, to be forgiven, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be rescued, to be delivered. Everyone who's trusted in Christ alone is called to then enjoy the table of the Lord, where we see with our eyes that which we receive by faith. We see with our eyes in the bread Christ as he broke the bread and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as he passed the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In this meal, we see portrayed before our eyes here again our only hope in life and in death, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His body broken, His blood shed for sinners. For sinners. And so we come in faith now to this meal. We come in faith and receive again the bread and receive again the cup. And in so doing, we remember and we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Let's take it together now.